QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net. At 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in the various aspects of amateur radio communication. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KO6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KO6Q. And hearing none, topic for the evening, we're going to keep it short a little bit this evening. It is the holiday season. I'm going to tie up all our time on the radio here. I'm going to be discussing the tape measure Yagi, which is featured this January issue of QST. Pretty interesting, and I know we have a couple other people out there that have either used this or built this or been around that, so this is kind of like a rehash of something that's been around for a long time. All right, I'll call a brief roster here of people that are normally out there every week, starting with WB6CLZ Mike.
Good evening, Tom, with the Tech Tuesday Net. This is WB6CLZ. Ready to get into that Yagi? Looks interesting. Back to you.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for being out there, and thanks for looking that up. Yeah, I sat down here at 6:59. Talk about timing. How about WB6CIN? Is she close by?
Here is WB6CIN.
Glad to hear you out there, Cindy. Glad you're out there with us this evening. How about KA6CIA, George? And a third out there. Let's see, moving on down to, let's see, how about KJ6HZS, Mike? Okay, nothing heard there from Mike. How about KJ6FIL, Mike?
Good evening, Tom and everybody. KJ6FIL, I think I'm out here somewhere.
Hey, Mike, glad to hear you out there. And I zoomed by Redlands so fast both ways today, I didn't have a chance to stop. But January 3rd, maybe. All right, thanks for being out there. How about KJ6KDL, Jim?
KJ6KDL, Jim here with the January QST. Man, there's a lot of articles in here. I'm surprised you only picked the antenna.
Well, the issue comes out once a month, and we have four Tech Tuesdays, so we got to spread it out a little bit. Anyway, KD6KDK Rosemary, KJ6KDK Rosemary, are you out there?
KJ6KDK here.
Glad you're out there. Let's see, how about W6GZI Frank? Nothing heard. How about KI6IQA Kelly? And nothing heard. How about K6GVL Ron?
K6GVL, good evening to you, Tom, and the net.
Okay, Ron passed the Green Valley turnoff about 45 minutes ago. A little gusty through there. I don't know if it is over where you're at. How about 86PL, Harold?
Evening, 86PL.
Evening there, Harold. Glad to have you out there. And a lot warmer down there in Riverside. How about K6LCS, Clint from Harupa Valley? Uh-oh, better give him a wake-up call. W6JLM, Judith, are you out there? And nothing heard. Moving on down to K6YNW. Chris.
Howdy, Tom and Annette. K6YNW.
How you doing, Chris? Hope it's not too windy out there in the desert. How about W6POO? Chip.
Hey, Tom and Annette. W6POO here. And I saw the article. Didn't read it, but was quite taken by the photograph. Looks like a little miniature satellite with... Anyway, it looks rather neat, and looking forward to listening and learning on the next Tuesday tonight. That's 6-0-0 clear.
Well, thanks, Jeff, for being out there. This is KF6Q Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater every Tuesday we can. How about KD6LN, Bill? He's probably out there sleeping. How about AE6CK Victor?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. Victor, AE6K. How much snow do we have over there?
Well, Victor, I ended up getting about a little over a foot here, maybe 14 inches in Sherlove. We're going to have a few warm days coming up in the future. So roads are all clear, though. They're looking good. And I think we're going to probably see some of the snow disappear here over the next few days. So take care. Hopefully you can come up. How about KA6ROD? Rod. Nothing heard. How about KB6LTY? Christy.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. KB6LTY.
Okay, Christy. Glad to have you out there. And Bruce, I'm sure, is not that far away. All right, that's pretty much the list as I have it here. And, of course, I'm going to keep it a little bit short this evening. But, Mike, anything new on the DX Horizon or sunspot activity out there? I want you to give us a quick update. WB6TLZ, KF6Q.
Hey, Tom, KF6Q, WB6CLZ with the Tech Tuesday Net.
Well, nothing new with me, but as far as sunspots, Space Weather's reporting a sunspot number of 133, which is middle of the road. Everything's okay. Not like it was, but okay. Solar flux index of 128 solar flux units. But there is a couple of groups of sunspots emerging, and you know, things can pick up in a little while. But it's just kind of status quo. The bands are okay. 10 meters is okay. You know, you can hear Europe in the morning when you get up at about 8, 9 o'clock. And, you know, not like it was, but it's okay. So hopefully it will get better, though, and things will improve like it was so about a month ago. And then we'll all be happy. That's about all I've got. Hopefully somebody spent a little more time. We're busy this time of the year actually working and making some money. So hopefully somebody else has spent a little more time DXing because I haven't had the time. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, I know right now everybody's got a million things to do besides be on the radio. But you know what? If there is anybody out there with a little DX want to contribute this evening, please come back right now with and share that with us on Tech Tuesday. Please come back to KF6Q. Well, Mike, I think everybody's been busy out there. I appreciate that report. Now, we're going to see if we can, if we have Clint out there. Clint, K6LCS, are you out there with the information about our satellites? KF6Q to K6LCS. Okay, I don't hear him out there. I'm sure he will join us. He was very anxious to share some information with us this evening, so hopefully he'll join in a little bit. Well, Mike, I'm going to hand it off to you here real quick. I'm going to be pulling myself up to speed here with this article. And what do you think of that? We've all talked about it with a tape measure Yagi, very portable, got to be very cheap. And actually, I think if you trim it right, you can actually use the little markings on the tape to know where to trim. Pretty cool. What do you think about that? WB6CLZ, KO6Q.
I think, number one, the price is definitely right. I mean, a little bit of PVC, the coax probably the most expensive thing going. And, you know, all tape measures. I eat those things up at yard sales, so they're really cheap. I actually, on my recent failed de-expedition to Alaska, used one for the counterpoise on my vertical antenna. But yeah, they're looking good. It's MoJ satellite, you know, which basically, thanks to Chip pointing this out to me, I go to the ham speak now. So Chip, that's cool. Now you've enlightened me to that. But MoJ is an uplink of 2 meter and a downlink of 70 centimeters. So, and it's an FM type thing. Really cool. And, you know, as reading through this, the other thing you can use it for is transmitter hunting. We've been talking about doing T hunts for several years now. And, you know, that maybe something like this would kind of mosey us over that way a little bit. Let's see what you found out, Tom. Back to you.
Well, I know that Clint has talked about this. I think this has been kind of floating around the internet there for a while. Like you say, pretty cool and very inexpensive with a couple pieces of PVC. And anybody out there who knows anybody in construction or has been a handyman and have had a broken tape measure, there's generally lots of possibilities there. Problem is, I usually toss them, but now I'm going to have to start thinking about saving them because this is pretty cool. You know, due to the fact that the elements are made out of the tape measure, I mean, they're very flexible. I guess it would probably be an issue in a wind, strong wind. But with this, pretty much fold up into a tube or throw it in there in the trunk or whatever you want to do, Mike. I mean, it sounds like it's got a pretty good pattern there. They've got a good printout here of the radiation pattern or what it picks up. And like I said, there's a little bit to play with. And you know what? If you made a mistake cutting an element, I'll bet you'd be really cheap to replace it. Back to you, Mike.
And from what I read here, got it all worked out, like you said. All the measurements are here, everything. Looks like he used some modeling software to design it and get radiation patterns and all of that. What, EZ, NEC, elevation plots. Kind of neat, yeah. And it does look, like you say, like you need a little bit of support on some of the longer elements, but that looks just like we used for those the little quads that we made. Looks like maybe the kite quality rods that we got on the internet when we were making those little antennas. Yeah, kind of neat. I don't see anything here about gains, but maybe I missed it anywhere. But I mean, you know, three elements pretty well standard, and then what are they using? Five elements on the 70 centimeters. Really cool. And also, I don't know if you noticed this, but with the tie wraps, it makes it real easy to pack, to, you know, break down and put the elements instead of cross, kind of like in a turnstile mode, to kind of pack them up for on the same plane for moving around and transforming. Really cool. YNW.
Yeah, Chris, go ahead.
Yes, the Coachella Valley Radio and Chip Club about a year ago they made these things, you know, just everyone making them. It was a pin wire matching. It was only 2 meters, but obviously it isn't any problem to put 70 centimeters on it because almost 2 meters is almost resonant centimeters, but a antenna, you know, the transmitter goes to the matching K6YNW.
You know, and one thing also this has, which is used quite often with these dual band with different elements for satellite, is a diplexer. And basically the diplexer, pulling this from the ham speak there, it's a passive device, and what it'll do is kind of make sure that the 2 meter signals go to the 2 meter antenna and the 440 signals, you know, go to the 440. It kind of isolates them a little bit. Helps with the gain so that one does not load down the other. Pretty cool. And of course, they're at 90 degrees to each other so the elements don't interfere. So all in all, it's pretty cool. I still like my Arrow. I have an Arrow that's pretty much the same way. But I got to tell you what, the arrow, I believe, was over $100, $110 and change, maybe even more. And I don't think that, I know a $30 tape measure used to be about 10 bucks, and a refill was probably less than that. So with that in mind, plenty of material, maybe a $2 or $3 stick of PVC, and you're good to go. Fantastic. Chip, if you're out there looking at that, what do you think? Is this something that possibly the desert rats would just love to delve into? We don't hear Chip out there. One more call again for K6LCS. Quint, have you joined us yet? I guess he's, hopefully he's not what happened to him last week. He wanted to share some information with Flay Bob Earhart coming up with him. Not going to spill the beans there. Got some pretty cool stuff happening in 2012 there, just FYI out there to everybody. And something about getting stuck in a vault, I'm not sure what it was last week. Anyway, well, good deal. Yeah, there's a lot of cool projects here with this. And Jim, KJ6KDL, does this Yagi look like this would be pretty easy or what?
It looks like it'd be very easy. In fact, it's actually two antennas in one, so if you wanted, you could just do the 2-meter part because it has the 70-centimeter add-on, and you could add that on later if you wanted. So it's basically two projects in one.
KJ6PO.
LTY.
All right, got a lot of comments out there. Yes, Harold, go ahead, 86PL. Go ahead, you first.
Yeah, I built one about 5 years ago, and it's a 2-meter. I got it off the original plans. It was made originally for box hunting. It supposedly has somewhere around 7 dBd gain. Has a huge amount of gain than what I built did. I built mine so that you can pop the PVC apart and drop it in a bag or something and carry it around with you and then put it back together. It's brace and fit, so there's no problem there. You don't have to glue it or anything. And one thing you want to watch is when you're messing with that tape measure, it's just like handling razor blades. It'll slice you wide open, and it might be a little hard to heal with that paint on there, I don't know. And it could take your eye out if you're not careful. You can tape it after you get it cut, but it's the cutting part where it gets dangerous because it's all spring steel, and it goes directions you don't even think it will. 86 steel.
Yeah, and Harold, that is a very good point. Very good point about that. With anything with antennas, of course, whether they're firm or sharp steel or stuff like this, you got to be careful because if it doesn't cut you, it could poke you. And I know a lot of our elements are very capable of that. So always got to think safely in there. Christy, LTY, go ahead.
Yeah, good evening again, Tom and Annette, KB6LTY. Yeah, I was lucky enough to borrow a couple of them from one of the amateur radio operators in our club, Victor Valley Amateur Radio Club, K6NDL Larry, who built several of them for the field activities that the club does for JODA. And we actually also helped him out for a couple of years. They're mainly built for the directional finding. Got them out there and demonstrated they work very well for directional finding. I compared it side by side with the arrow on performance for satellite and didn't do too good because it did not have the 440 add-on to it. But Larry just told me the other day that he actually made a contact through with one of those, 2-meter only, on satellite. So it was noisy, but it did work. And I don't think you have to actually have the elements, 440 elements, perpendicular. I think it'll work in line. And that's all I got. All I got. KB6LTY.
Becca there. Yeah, I think one reason, I mean, we have a lot of the HF beams, their elements are intertwined between, and they're all in the same plane, and I know that will work. I think the part of just flipping at 90 degrees just makes it a little easier to have less interaction between the two, and I think that's the only reason they do that. Yeah, I'm sure that it could work either way. And Jim, while you're out there listening, I want you to look at page 38, and I want you to look at where it says balance and feed point, and I want you to read that about the hairpin and why we use that. So keep that in mind. This is probably the best thing I've seen in print to simplify that. Anyway, Chip, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Tom. I apologize. I had to step away for a few moments, but I heard you call, and enjoying learning a lot about what this is about. And I remember on your earlier magazine, there was the same use of the tape. They were using it for the ground radials, which is important to me because I have a vertical trap antenna, as you may recall, a high-gain vertical trap, which is great for windy situations, and does have the ground radials. And I've actually sat out one day and did the ground radials with the tape measure. And I appreciated the heads up to a tape measure. It's a heck of a snapback. It'll cut you, and it does could cut an eye. So I'll always use my do a quick reset. Always wear goggles and gloves when I'm dealing with the tape and stuff of that nature. But I did know, as it has been said, it's actually two antennas connected to one another. And I'm assuming that it wouldn't make any difference if you have vertical or horizontal, that the polarization would just act the same as a regular antenna. And I was also noting the graph on page 38. They perform rather well. I mean, the amount of energy going out the front side versus the back side, it looks like it does rather well, especially the 2 meter. Most of the energy, well over 80% of it here, does head out the front way. So it looks like a great little project, but it could be a little slice of dice. But anyway, I just noticed that, and it wouldn't work well as a wind where I'm at, but the tape does work well as ground radio.
Yeah, a lot of good points there, Chip. You know, and I think there would probably be, I'm sure there's something that could be done to kind of stiffen up the elements if you wanted to use it in the wind. I mean, you got to think, we're all thinking outside the box with a lot of this stuff. Repurposing, as they call it, using things for other reasons and purposes. And obviously, this would be something that would be trash, the tape measure. But if it wasn't, I mean, you can actually buy a new tape and still be very cheap putting this thing together. I know that in my experience, generally when they the ends would break off, we'd usually wear out first foot or two, or maybe even the first 5 or 6 feet, and then of course it would get tossed, and sometimes it would even get tossed very far, depending on the attitude of myself and whoever else. Oh, we would never do that. I'm just kidding, of course. Anyway, well, good deal. I just thought this was worth an honorable mention this evening. You know, as we're all talking about building stuff this next year, we are going to have definitely a lot of antenna workshops. We'll start out with some real mild ones as we still have the snow season going on up here. We'd like to do some testing next summer, possibly out there in Lucerne Valley where we get out there, and would like to have some volunteers to help with that. We want to take some of our stuff out there and set up a transmitter or a person and do some measurements and compare some stuff. It's really the cool stuff. You know, they're all supposed to do this and that. It's always neat to find out what they really do. Let me reset. Yeah, and always there's good information here. You know, like I say, this is out of QST magazine, and I know that if there's anything a person could do, look up and get the CD or the DVD. I think it's on a CD. It might be on a DVD for the past issues. They do sell that. I don't think there's any year that doesn't have a ton of information. Great stuff, great articles, a lot of great people out there. People have done this stuff. So you know, and then, of course, if you remember, you'll be getting the current stuff. But those DVDs or CDs that they put everything on, the greatest thing about it is you don't have a stack of them. And you got all the articles there, you just pull right up in the computer. Let me reset. And this is KF6Q with Tech Tuesday Net. But anyway, not going to tie up everybody's evening. Also, I have not eaten today or this evening, so I'm going to kind of cut it short a little bit with the holiday season. But I do appreciate all the people out there that join us every week, especially with this. We always try to keep things interesting of what's coming down the road and what's on the articles out there that are published. Great stuff. We find a lot of people out there, listeners, that have built a lot of stuff like this, always have a lot of things to share. So I'm going to probably close the net here shortly, but I am still open to any other comments on this topic tonight. And anything else you want to add in, please come back. We'll start with you, Mike, first. WB6CLZ, what do you think?
Simplicity is always better. And if it works, that's a plus. No, I think that's great. I think we should kind of lean towards this as one of our projects. I mean, that's really cool. It's multi-purpose and multi-function, and that's so cool. Okay, well, 7-3's all. Happy holidays to everyone. And we'll probably miss next week because we're going to be up in Prescott, Arizona. And I don't know if we'll be able to get into the repeater. But everybody have a great holiday. And 7-3 from WB6CLZ.
86, Neil.
Okay, Mike, Harold, 1 second there. Mike, we will definitely leave a little spot open on for Echolink. If you're there, feel free to check in, and if not, enjoy Prescott. Harold, go ahead. Last comments about this.
Right, it'd save you a little run around and gasoline. If you have to buy a tape measure refill, just go to Sears and Roebuck. I went to a place in Riverside, and half the places didn't know what a refill was. A couple of them had tape measures on the shelf, and the employee didn't know what a tape measure was. So I went to Sears. I bought a refill. There's enough in there to make two or three three-element antennas, which was what I built with the three-element, and share it out. And have fun with it, because that's a great antenna. It works great. Just, it did some stuff I didn't think it would do. So I was happy with it. 86, y'all. Have a good Christmas.
You know, and Harold, one thing I want to mention, and this is just a little FYI information about Yagi's, using the tape measure blade, as it's obviously wide, laying flat, as against the thickness. This is actually a trick done with commercial UHF antennas. That tends to make it a little bit more wideband, believe it or not, because if it's not round and it's flat and perfect, I guess the angle that is or whatever, being in line with the antenna. Little manufacturer's trick, little radio science trick. So that actually helps with it making it wideband, but I think with a 2-meter band, it's generally not an issue because it's, you know, not the biggest span. But anyway, possibly, as we come back next week for Tech Tuesday, if anybody has any ideas how to make this a little safer so it's not so sharp, how do we dull up that edge and still make it just as good as it was? That probably could be submitted to QST, and I bet they'd publish it. Anyway, anybody else out there, any final comments, please come back to KO6Q.
YNW.
Chris, go ahead.
Yep. I can see beveling the ends of those things. And also, in the article, they have them on the same plane. I do think if they're transversed to each other, it might help a little bit in the separation. K6YNW.
Yeah, good information there, Chris. Yeah, and it's always, antennas are really a weird science to start with. A lot of good stuff there. I mean, I've seen some things that I thought, I did not know why they worked, but they did. But most commonly, this is pretty cool stuff. And yeah, just to dull that up a little bit, probably make it a lot safer. But either way, a little caution doesn't hurt. So appreciate that. Anybody else out there with any final comments about the tape measure, Yagi?
AG6PO, we're clear.
And Y and W again.
And LTY again.
Yeah, they're going to starve me here. Oh, okay, not a problem. No, I really appreciate all the comments. That's really great. Harold first, 86BL, go ahead.
Yeah, to take the edges off of mine and the sharp corners, I use a file. That's all it takes. Just sit there with a file and break the edges and break the corners, and it won't cut you. You can wrap tape around it. That's the last one I saw on the internet was an upgrade of the original, which was a reproduction of what I built. It was the formula, the plans I used. And the guy then had, in about 5 years, had come up with the idea of wrapping tape around it while you're using it so you don't slice somebody. 86 feel.
You know, and that's a very good point. I don't even know why I didn't even think about that, but I didn't. Before I hand it off to Chris and then to Christy, yeah, I think electrical tape, and I know Mike is out there still listening, electrical tape and just wrapping it, kind of holding it over the sharp edge of each piece, and I think if that was put in properly, it'd probably still be flexible. Just real quick, Mike, WB6CLZ, what do you think?
Yeah, that'd work, and in places like that, we've used a liquid electrical tape, too. You just kind of gob it on, and that makes it easy. It doesn't come off as easily as, like, Scotch 33 Plus, or heaven forbid you use the cheapy stuff.
Okay, roger that. And just before I hand this back off to Chris, yeah, because we've actually had tape measures break midday. I usually carry, well, years ago, started carrying a spare just for that reason. And actually use electrical tape just to hold it together for the day. And still very flexible, still even flexible enough to go right back into the carrier and last, at least for the end of the day, or whatever. But there is a, I think that would work very well. So anyway. I think, Harold, you brought that up. Good idea. Excellent idea, really. So we'll have to jot that down, send that in. All right. Back to Chris, YNW.
Right. I mentioned that if the elements were perpendicular, it might have better separation. I should add, when deviates from the article's research, it's open season. K6YNW.
Roger that. And you know what? And I know we all, and I say this with respect to anybody who's got the ambition to get out there and build their own antenna. And I know that, you know, no matter how close you follow all the measurements, you know, the best you can hope for is that everything is right. Sometimes a little error will creep in there and things won't work. But I think that's just the beginning of a mystery, and I always love solving that kind of stuff. So. Anyway, good point there. Yeah, you try to always stay with the article, at least before you start experimenting. Anyway, Christy, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to add, but Harold broke in there and added that. That's part of the design that we use that Larry built that I helped him put together, is you tape the ends with a good vinyl tape, and it works great. In fact, what it does is, it adds a little bit of friction so that you fold them back into the PVC housing there, and it stays better. And also check out Harbor Freight. They've got very cheap tape measures, and I actually bought a couple, and I keep them in my go bag as potential Yaggies. Anyway, that's about it. Thanks, Tom. KB6 Hillsway.
KSXQ on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, Tech Tuesday. Well, thanks, Christy. Yeah, and that is, you know, that's pretty good, pretty cool stuff. A lot of outlets, especially if you're going to use it for a Yagi. I mean, if we're going to use it for, like, Mike, myself, and anybody else out there who does anything construction-oriented every day, or used to, anyway, I have to say to put that in there, used to, you know, and then you're looking for durability and different things like that. But if you're going to make an antenna out of it, it doesn't have to be the best tape. It doesn't have to be one of the Fat Maxes or any of those very good but very expensive tapes. So good point there. So, all righty. Anybody else out there, anything to add before we close Tech Tuesday with the Yagi, tape measure Yagi? Pretty cool stuff. And we're getting up there in time anyway. Doesn't matter. Hey, that's okay, though. Anybody with anything else to add, please come back to KF6Q.
KJ6KDL.
Jim, go ahead.
Just a couple of things. I was listening to the comments on YCS. The two antennas, if you look at figure one on page 37, if you have the book, the 70 centimeter is 90 degrees opposed. They have them rotated in the others. Other pictures to show packing it. That's why they did the zip tape, so they can rotate the 70 centimeters so they can be parallel just for folding up. And if anybody wants to try a simple tape measure design, if you back up to page 20, there's a little do it yourself to the max, and somebody built a tape measure dipole. So it's a good way to get your feet wet. And I think I'm going to stick with my Delta now that I gave up my Gamma. But maybe the next Yagi I build, I'll do it this way. KJ6KDL.
Okay, roger that. Well, I've got some pretty cool stuff, too, for making straps. This little sidebar note here, anybody out there, and if you are going with a Gamma match and you're trying to find that magical little shorting bar that doesn't exist out there, found out that 1/16 inch thick, that's 1/16 inch thick aluminum strap in the typical metal bin. If you're down there in Lucerne, there's one at the Triangle Market. If you're up here in Big Bear, both hardware stores up here have it. I don't know if the newer one does. And if you're off the mountain, of course, all the other Lowe's and Home Depot's and Depot's, and they all have that. Anyway, 1/16 inch thick, typically half inch wide, and I think I bought a 6 foot stick. Was about $5, $4 or $5. Bends real easy. You can form this into loops. You can actually bend it around a half inch bolt or smaller. And a lot of do-it-yourself stuff there with just normal pliers. So always be thinking out of the box. Anyway, anybody else out there? Any comments or suggestions or things to add before we close the net?
86PL.
Yes, Harold, go ahead.
You may be already doing it, but what I use on that aluminum, the thin stuff, is to drill my hole so I get a good, clean, exact size hole, is the flat spur bits for wood boring. I bought a set of 13 at Harbor Freight for $10, and I drilled about 8 holes with it, and every one of them came out right exactly on the mark. 86
PL. Oh, roger that. You know, there again, too, and this is what Tech Tuesday is all about, is sharing different ways of doing things, thinking outside of the box, which we've been doing for years. Hams have done that from the beginning. Good stuff out there. So, anyway, but yeah, and a lot of, like you say, a lot of the tools and things can be had rather cheaply. You don't want to go out and spend a fortune on, you're trying to save money building an antenna. You don't want to be spending it all on tools that you're only going to use for the antenna. So, you know, we always want to make sure we try to keep our budgets down there. Anyway, all right, anybody else out there, anything to add before we close the net to KF6Q? All right, I think we got it covered there. And I'll have the radio on here for a little bit. Love to have everybody out there join in. Appreciate that. I don't know. We've been pulling. Mike Seals has been helping me out with this for. We're getting real close to 2 years here, Mike. And the neat thing is everybody says, "Are you ever going to run out of stuff to talk about?" And I'm like, "I don't think so. We're hams. We never run out of stuff to talk about." So anyway, little joke there. All right. Well, once again, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. Appreciate everybody who's joined in. Love to have you all back again every Tuesday that you can. Stick with us, and we'll keep working with stuff out there. Try to keep it interesting, and looking forward to doing a lot of stuff next year. So we'll be closing the net at 1900 hours and 40 minutes and returning the repeater to normal use. Thanks again for everybody joining us. This is KF6Q, turning the repeater back to normal use.